So this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and it's verses 16 to 22. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked.
Thanks, Ant, very much. Very nice to see you. My name is John. I'm married to Jo. Let's put that down slightly. And it's very good to see you. And if you're here for the first time, I hope we get to know you over time. Just to explain, I'm afraid I broke my ankle about 3 weeks ago, so I'm just kind of still getting used to that. And there's a very exciting story about me being winched off a cliff by a helicopter, but you'd have to listen to last week's tape for that. This evening I just really want to make one point and make it well so that we can go away with that one thing, I suppose. Has anyone ever used one of these boots before, an air boot? Yeah? Ah, yes, I know you have. Yeah. They are really amazing. And, you know, I feel like I'm auditioning for Star Wars The Last Jedi, as a, at least my right leg is. And on the side, you take these things off, and you can press these things, and you pump air into the boot, and so your foot is much more held in a particular place, and it's been extremely comfortable, but it's also been extremely healing as well. And I kind of saw it as a metaphor for the thing that I want to do tonight, which is that we are broken people, and yet all the time God is, as it were, pumping air around us so that we can set ourselves towards the things that God has for us, so that we can set ourselves straight. And this one thing that I want to say tonight from that passage is a way in which we can set ourselves for the future. If you're here, you've kind of come to Exeter either for uni or for a job or something like that, and you're thinking about the autumn and the winter and the future, it's a really good way to set yourselves along the courses of what God wants for us as a church and for you as an individual. And it's a simple point that I want to make. And hopefully I'll pump just a little bit of air around you so that you can hold yourself steady and walk in the purposes of God through the autumn. I've been thinking a little bit about what we do, how we do it, and why we do it, and in particular why we do it. We thought a little bit last week about why we do what we do as a church. And we came up with the thing that gets us out of bed in the morning, of why we participate in church life and why we connect ourselves to church at all, is because Jesus transforms everything. Jesus transforms everything. So if you've met with Jesus, I expect you will have experienced some transformation in your life. And last week I talked a little bit about how as you come to Jesus, what happens is he starts to transform things in you and work things out in you so that you grow in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all those things, and that you are able to give yourself to the purposes of God. And the thing I want to talk today about is not only does he transform you, he works in you to your benefit, but that he also transforms other people through you. So this is the sort of the setting that I want to set you straight as you head into this week. And you may have a slightly awesome week, particularly if you're a fresher and you're heading into Freshers Week and you're wondering what it's going to be like. This is going to be an important setting for you to know that not only does Jesus transform you, but he's going to use you this week to transform people around you, to bring love and hope and all kinds of things that Jesus loves to bring. And in the passage that we had just now, that Anthony read to us, Jesus declares his manifesto. So he gets up and he uses an ancient scripture from the prophet Isaiah, and he uses it to say, this is my manifesto. He's basically saying, this is why I am and what I do and how I do things. And manifestos have fallen into a bit of bad press, I guess, over time, because we've had a general election this year. How many of you read any manifestos that came through your door? Well done. Very well done. So not many. My favourite manifesto came from Lord Buckethead, who was standing against Theresa May. And Lord Buckethead's manifesto said that he was strong, not entirely stable leadership, which I thought was quite good. And he was also the most powerful protest vote in the galaxy, which I'm not sure he lived up to that promise. Other manifestos from different spheres have been more reliable. See if you know what this one is. Back in 2007, a man got up with his announcement, his manifesto. He said, thank you for coming. We're going to make some history here today. He said some other things. And then he said, this is the day I've been looking forward to for 2.5 years. Any ideas? Steve Jobs. Exactly. Because then he went on to say, so we're going to reinvent the phone. And brought out the iPhone. And I think he's made good on that promise, I would say. So Jesus takes hold of an ancient scripture, and he uses it for his manifesto. He uses it to say, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing. And I just want to give a tiny bit of before and after so that you can get the sense of where you and I fit into this particular manifesto. So Jesus is announced by John the Baptist, and then John baptizes him, and his heavenly Father says, this is my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. And he fills him with his Spirit, fills him with the presence and the power of God. And immediately afterwards, if you read Luke's Gospel, it talks about the fact that Jesus is descended from Adam. It's one of those seemingly very dull bits of scripture which says so-and-so is the son of so-and-so is the son of so-and-so. But it basically connects Jesus with humanity. So he's connected with God in this extraordinary way. The Father affirms him. He's filled with the Spirit. He's totally a human being at the same time. And then he's driven out into the desert, and he's tested by the enemy, by the devil, and he rebuffs the devil, and he returns in the power of the Spirit. And in that moment, he goes to his hometown, Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue, to the general place of worship, which he's been to for years and years and years. They all know who he is. He's Joseph's son. He's the carpenter, and so on. And he takes the scroll of the prophet from the attendant, and he looks at it. And he finds Isaiah 61, a little bit of Isaiah 58. I think he moves around a few passages there. And he starts to speak these words that have been spoken for many hundreds of years, which the prophet Isaiah wrote. And the words are that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That last phrase is referring to the year of Jubilee, where all kinds of economic transactions that you made in the previous 50 years were then set right. So basically, Jesus is bringing to himself and bringing into his manifesto that he is going to do these things. Good news is going to come from him. He's going to set people free, and he's going to restore to people what they've lost. And he takes hold of these ancient scriptures, which talk about both speaking and doing, proclaiming and demonstrating. And if these five tasks that he talks about have really one outcome, that here is an individual who will take hold of you when you are down, and he will lift you up. He will transform everything. So this is a bold statement. It's a much higher bar than some political manifestos that we have seen. He's declaring that what Isaiah said then is something that he's appropriating now. And what happens is Jesus rolls up the scroll when he's written it, when he's read it out to everyone. And he sits down, and everyone's expecting him to preach. And everybody is looking at him. And they've been hearing these words, and the words that have been said for centuries, where God's people have read about this individual who would come and he would set everything right. There's hundreds of years of expectation, a longing for a Messiah, a longing for a king, a longing for a prophet who would come and make everything right in their land and amongst their people. And everyone's looking at him intently, and he starts to speak. And basically what he says is this: after all these years of longing, all these years of waiting, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. Today this is fulfilled in your hearing. It's like he's saying, we're going to make history right now from this moment onwards. And so what happens is, after that, Jesus immediately goes out and just starts to demonstrate the fact that what the promises that he has appropriated to himself are true. He goes immediately out and he's faced by someone who is demonized, and he drives out a demon. He goes to his friend Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law is ill, and he heals her. And then as people realize that Jesus is starting to demonstrate what it's like to be with God and under the resources of heaven, people start coming from everywhere, and he just heals everybody who's sick, and he drives out all demons of anyone who is troubled by evil. And so the disciples start to see what he's doing, and he calls these disciples to himself. And once they've been watching a little bit of what he's been doing, he then sends them out with authority to do the same thing. He says, now it's your turn to go. Come and be with me, spend some time with me, watch me what I do, and then you go, and I'm giving you authority to do the same sort of things. And not only that, he takes hold of the 12, but then he takes hold of the 72 more people. And he sends them out as well to do the same. And the Bible specifically says that they return just so happy, because when they came across evil spirits, they drove them out, and they were able to do that in Jesus' name. So they did it, but they did it with the power and in the name of Jesus. And Jesus dies and is raised to life. And just before he ascends into heaven, the last words that he says to his disciples are these. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So he's referring back to when he started. He said, the Holy Spirit's upon me. And he says, now, when the Holy Spirit's on you, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You'll begin to do the things that I've been doing all the way towards the end of the earth. And 10 days later, everyone is filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon them, and they're anointed to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, give recovery of sight to the blind, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and so on. Now, you and I, we follow this same Jesus. And we're part of that same story. So the Acts of the Apostles, which is the book that talks about when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and went out to the ends of the earth, it ends really abruptly. I don't know if you've read to the end of the Acts of the Apostles. There's quite a lot of different adventures that all those guys get up to. And it ends very abruptly. And you kind of think, well, they're missing a page, and you look, turn over, and you're moving on to another book. And it seems a bit weird. But the point is that as you turn over the page, there's you and there's me, because we're part of that same story. We follow the same Jesus. We're filled with the same Holy Spirit. The same deal applies to us, because we are, as the church, the body of Christ. So to kind of sum up, this is my point. Let's be clear, as we start out towards the autumn, of the part that we play in God's plan to transform everything. You and I have a part. So if you're a follower of Christ, you're co-opted by God into the plans of God for Exeter, for our neighborhood, for our university, for our workplace, for our families, whatever it might be. God's got plans for all those things. And all those plans involve transformation. And he is co-opting you into that plan. He really trusts you. It's a really amazing thing to start to find out. If you're a follower of Jesus, God has filled you with his Holy Spirit for a purpose. Not only to experience his love and to be transformed yourself, and that's vital, that's absolutely crucial. And if you have never experienced the transformation of Jesus, tonight is a good night to start that. But also that you will become someone who has good news to tell. Someone who frees other people from loneliness. Someone who, through the power of the Spirit, frees other people from addiction, from guilt and shame, from sickness and sadness and despair. All the things that come upon people and weigh people down. The power of God is within you. It really is. Because God's Holy Spirit lives in you as you, whenever you become a Christian, you decide to follow Jesus. You are someone who brings love and freedom and joy and hope and power wherever you go. And you should expect to. Now, that is the setting that I want to pump air around, that it's a mindset for us. It's a way of being, a way of entering into our week and the people that we're going to spend time with. And you should expect to bring life wherever you go, to individuals, to groups of people, to institutions, to workplaces, whatever it might be, to your family. And it's not because you're great, although you are. It's because God has decided to make his home in you, and he's changing you. And the power of God and the power of heaven lives within you. And when you come across people and you tell them some good news about Jesus, you invite them to Alpha. That's a brilliant thing to do. That is the lowest level of bravery that you need, just to say, hey, do you want to come and join me on a course, an introduction to Christianity? Or you may say to someone, as they tell you their woes, do you think I could pray for you? Would that be okay? And you just say a prayer for them. But as you do that, you're inviting the power and the presence of God into their life, and all kinds of extraordinary things can happen. So we feel unready, we feel broken, we feel undaunted to do these kinds of things. But it's always been that way. And if you read the New Testament, you'll see the disciples were always daunted by what Jesus set in advance for them to do. So if you remember when there's thousands of people that need to be fed, and Jesus says, you feed them. I mean, I guess they felt daunted at that point. But with the help of Jesus, they feed the thousands of people in a miraculous way. So why not try out your transformative power this week? Why not find a way to bring love to someone who is lonely, to bring power to someone who is unwell, to bring hope to someone who is in despair? Because with the Holy Spirit within you, you certainly can and will. And you'll probably do a lot more than you actually think you're doing at any one time. So should we stand together? Is that okay? Have I made that one point enough? Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're saying thanks. That was enough, yeah. Okay, so what I'd love to do is for us to pray together and just to declare this together, and then we'll just offer prayer for any who would like it. But Isaiah the prophet said this hundreds and thousands, 2,700 years ago? Okay, yeah, I was just looking for confirmation there. Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. And he encourages us to say it now, because the same Holy Spirit is upon us and the same Jesus leads us and guides us. So this may be new to you, but as we stand, we trust that God by his Spirit is here with us in the room. He is ready to transform and he's ready to set our minds on God's purposes. So if it helps you to stick your hands out in front of you, just as you did with bread and wine, just to say, here I am, Jesus. And I'd love you to pray with me after each phrase. The Spirit of the Lord is on us. Because he has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So let that, as it were, set your broken bones towards transformation that he wants to bring through you, just as surely as he wants to bring it in you. Father, send your Holy Spirit Fill us with your love, fill us with your power, fill us with confidence in who you are. Help us to know who we are in you, entirely loved, and what we carry, the presence of God and the resources of heaven. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.